Hi everyone, I'm Dragan and you're listening to the Lunch Break Coach podcast. Today, with us in the studio, or actually in our virtual studio because she's based in the US, is Vicky Haddock. She's author and authentic leadership coach. We'll see, you know, what does it mean this? Vicky comes from 20 years of frontline leadership in the corporate world, and she holds more than 2,000 hours of leadership coaching under her belt. She grew up in a business in a very, very male-dominated industry, being in a single parent at the same time and creating a life to inspire others and lead in their authentic ways. We'll speak a little bit more about how she coached and about her book that I found quite interesting. It's called Confidence Unchained, but we'll go there very soon. Hi, Vicky. How are you?
Hi, Dragan. Welcome. Thanks for having me on. And it's exciting to be here today. I'm doing super well.
I must confess to people, we know for more than a year now, and we've been like, we started from a course that we joined together. We worked on something in a platform together, but we kind of built this long distance relationship. And I talked to you being in different countries, which is also fantastic. And you like traveling.
Yes, as well. I love traveling. Never been to your corner of the world yet, but I've spent a lot of time in Mexico, different parts of Mexico, and love the remote abilities of coaching to be able to do that. Of course, in our world, where it's easy to connect.
Sorry for interrupting you. Actually, you did your book in Spanish as well.
I did. Yeah, actually, just over the weekend, it has just been released onto the Amazon platform for sale in Spanish.
And Spanish is a huge language. Actually, that's, you know, like as a coverage, it's one of the most used languages in the world. So that gives you a very big exposure to different audiences.
Yeah, I'm super excited about that. One of the reasons I spent a lot of time in Mexico was just I had a really heart to become more fluent in Spanish and to hopefully someday be able to do my work bilingually, but I'm not quite there yet, but working on it.
I'm curious, like for people that don't know you, what are the three things you want them to know about you? What are the three things that they must know about you?
Yeah, the three. I love that question. Well, one of the things that I think would be important for people to know about them is I'm all about not doing things in the way that we've been taught to do them. Okay, so that's one. Wow. So it's like if we've been shaped to do something some way, it's probably for the benefit of someone else and not ourselves. The second thing I think I would want people to know about me is I truly work to live my life from that intuitive place of inner guidance. And that is how I encourage others to live their life as well. Mm-hmm. So that would be two. And three is, man, I'm just an adventurer and a curious person in this world. Love exploring.
Interesting. I mean, I was wondering, you know, what will happen if everyone start doing and we're living in a way different than what everyone told us to do?
What do you think would happen?
I think, apart from some chaos, because I don't think everyone is ready to live that way. Because people stick to rules and it's easy, you know, to do. I mean, we have so many examples. But then I think a lot of new things are going to happen.
Yeah. Think about if we didn't take for granted that certain groups of people fight each other. You know, I think in many times in our culture today, we just take it for granted that, well, there's always going to be unrest here. There's always going to be that. And if we would strip that all away and think about why do we take that for granted? Why does it have to be that way? Mm-hmm. and instead approach it from that perspective of what if it was possible to change that.
Mm-hmm. I can see a lot of other things, and even I've seen a lot of people that their creativity was killed because they wanted to do mm-hmm. something in a particular way, but not in their own way.
Yeah.
So good.
Yeah. And I think that, like you said, not everybody, it takes a lot of courage and it takes a lot of skill to be able to listen to that inner voice. It's like building a muscle. And that's one of the things I do a lot of in my coaching work is teaching people how to reconnect with that inner voice. I mean, we all have that. We've all sensed it at one point or in time, but many people have never learned to just like cultivate a relationship with that voice so they were in touch with it on a regular basis.
As someone coming from the mental health field, when we hear inner voice or when we start people, you know, connecting with a voice, we always thought about something, you know, not really healthy. But in coaching is very different. And people struggle mm-hmm. with the concept of I have a voice and this voice is not always necessary. The one I'm using. So how do you help people to discover, or let's say it like that, rediscover their voice in mm-hmm. your coaching practice?
Oh, I love that. Well, I'm going to go back to where you and I connected, because you and I connected inside of a class around the concept of positive intelligence. Mm-hmm. And I think positive intelligence is one of the greatest frameworks that there is right now for helping people understand their inner sage. That platform frames it as inner sage and our saboteurs. So knowing that we all have thinking patterns that we can get trapped in that can sabotage us and hold us back, causes more self-doubt, more self-criticism, but we also all have this inner sage inside of us. And so I think that's a great place to start with that. But most people, when you ask them, have you ever had a moment in your life where you just absolutely knew something to be true without a shadow of a doubt, even if it didn't make logical sense? Everybody's had those moments. And that's that inner sage speaking. Sometimes people feel it in their gut, sometimes people feel it in their heart, but it's just learning that, hey, that's a valuable part of us that is worth connecting to.
I love the concept of the inner sage, and I also love the concept of the saboteurs. Every time when I use it with clients, very, very, very big insights with big percentage of the people I use, that's really helpful. For some people, it's just this is very helpful. That's who I am. I can't really like think about anything to change. And you don't force the change if they don't see it. Majority of people start reasoning a lot of things that happen to them. And a lot of things they do based on the saboteurs. And they start hearing these saboteur voices coming later on. Which is very, very very important, I guess. Just start recognizing your saboteurs and then work on strengthening the sage.
And I think the most important thing about the saboteurs is, and let me give an example so people can relate to this, like hyperachiever is one, procrastinator or avoider is the saboteur title. So hyperachiever, avoider, pleaser, those are examples of saboteur qualities. And most times I find that people have so closely identified those behaviors in themselves as part of themselves that they don't think that they can really change it. And I think one of the really cool qualities of positive intelligence is it shows how to separate that a lot of those things are just coping mechanisms we've developed over our lifetime when we didn't have more skills available to us. I love the concept of the inner gremlin. I don't know if you've ever read the book Taming the Inner Gremlin, but it was one of my first books I read around this concept of mindset and sage. It was pretty powerful.
I know the book. I don't. I must admit, I didn't read it. But I can, you know, see what do you mean by this? You know, like, and there was another one about taming the advice monster. This was a very, very good book. And I think, you know, taming this drive to do things one way, because you thought or someone told you that this was a great way of doing it. And usually what I see is they had their function in some periods of our life. They were very helpful, the saboteurs, but they're no longer helpful now. Or, you know, they might no longer be helpful in the future. And many people are stuck in old patterns of thinking, of doing things. I see this when we change from one level of leadership to another, the skills that brought us here were no longer relevant to where we would like to go from here. And but that change is scary because you're leaving.
I'd like to look at that as a spiral, right? So communication as an individual contributor looks one way, and then we spiral up to that, you know, kind of first level of leadership where we might be a leader of individual contributors. Well, communication looks different there, right? But we're building on that same skill, but now we have to build on that from a different level. And then eventually a leader of leaders looks like a different skill level.
I can't remember who said that people are promoted until they reach the level of incompetence. And people
so
think that
true.
People think that this is bad. Like, because incompetent shows that, okay, I don't know what to do. It's not like, no, it's like, just open a new opportunity for you to learn. So that's
great. Yeah, yeah. One of my first leadership individuals I learned so much from was John Maxwell, and he had what he called the law of the lid. And the law of the lid was that if this is, you know, if the lid of a leader is at a number seven, they can only lead people up to a number seven. And so their option is either to, you know, stretch and grow themselves to the next levels, or really, if you are somebody who is an eight and you're working under seven, you're not going to be content there very long, because you're going to sense your level of leadership is stronger than that. You're going to look for a place where there's a leader who has a higher lid. So I always love that concept.
I want us to focus a little bit on the book Confidence Unchained. I'm going to post the link to the book in the description of the podcast, so everyone who would like to have it to go can, you know, purchase it the usual way. But I'm curious, what inspired you to write a book? Because writing a book, although it's more common now, I mean, I'm coming from a family, my father is a writer, and I know the process of, you know, but he writes different kind of things. And how unique this was an experience before compared to now. And it's lovely that everyone can actually produce a good quality book. But what was your drive to come up with this book, where it started?
Yeah. I think the drive was the transformation that I experienced in my own life because of the five practices that I share in the book. You know, I came from a space in my life where I was very unconfident, very driven by the thoughts and opinions of other people, and very much always looking for that validation and approval of other people. And that caused me a lot of suffering in the earlier parts of my life, in work situations, in my marriage at the time. And it was actually the end of that marriage and becoming a single parent where I really took a really hard look at myself and said, you know, it's now my responsibility to lead these three human beings to be a quality people in life. And, you know, I had the wisdom at that point in time to know that I could only do that if I changed something inside of me. And so over the next 5 to 6 years, You know, I found different practices, different teachings, different wisdom that helped me to put together these five practices. And they've really changed my life. They really completely changed the whole trajectory of my confidence, the whole trajectory of my parenting, the whole trajectory of my quality as a leader in the business world. And it opened up possibility and hope and gave me the confidence to eventually, you know, do a career transition to a career that like fully aligned with my skills. And I see so many people trapped and stuck in patterns where I was stuck before. And they want desperately to get out of those patterns, but they don't know the process of how to do that. And so that was the motivator for me to write this book, is to take those things that acted as the freeing practices for me and be able to have them in a way that others could just pick that up and take that, where they don't have to come into a coaching session, or they don't have to, you know me as a personal individual to be able to see and to know those practices.
If I have the book and I read it, what's going to happen with me? What do you expect to happen with people?
Well, I guess there's a couple of things. You can read the book and you can say, well, that was a nice book, and you can put it on a shelf and go on with your life. Or you can read the book and you can see which parts of it are speaking to you to apply, that could open up new areas of possibility for you. So I really think that this book meets people when they're in a space where it's going to be most impactful, is when they're in that space of seeking for answers in their life to the questions that they haven't been able to answer yet.
Actually, that's very relevant for books. I mean, some books, if you read them once, it might not be the right time to get the most out of this book, and then read them in a different period of your life, and then like, wow, how I did miss this last time. What happened?
Right?
You know, it's still been here. The book didn't change. It's not something that the author updated on my library. And like, why it's here? It shows that, you know, that's shows how great books are.
Right. Several of the books that have been most impactful for me, the first time I read them, I was just like, that doesn't make sense at all to me. And then and at least two of those books I've now read four or five times. And every time I come back, I see something new piece of wisdom in it.
I always ask people about what's their big burning question at the moment. I call it the BBQ question. And I'm really curious about what's your big burning question today, February 2024.
Yeah, February 2024. I think my big burning question today is, how do we help people who outwardly have so many differences connect on a level of seeing each other as a spirit to a spirit, you know, a human being to a human being, instead of all of the outward shapings that we each have? And if we could begin to see each other just on that really human to human, spirit to spirit level, and release all the judgments that we make about people and cultures and how we look and how we speak and how we were raised or how we weren't raised, you know, what would the possibility for greater peace be in our own lives and our own relationships, and then in the greater world? How would that impact the greater world? I don't know. That's my burning question today.
It's a very big question.
Yeah.
When you were saying it, I was imagining all these people living all the luggage they have, and all the judgments and all the beliefs that might be not relevant for everyone, and just meeting, like, you know, just two people meeting like that. I mean, not naked, because that's too vulnerable, but just meeting with, you know, in a very simple way.
Yeah. If we could find a way to see each other apart from all the differences, outside of comparison, and just find those, that common knowing that inside of us, we each have a human spirit that functions the same way. And I think it'd be powerful.
It reminds me of something that I use quite a lot in my coaching, when my leaders ask, or the leaders I work with ask me, like, how do I connect with my people? And I said, why don't you start connecting them as humans? And then everything else will start following. I never thought of it. Can we do it at work? I said, what stops you? You know, take it as a human. And then everything is an add-on. But the most common thing between you and this person is you're both humans.
Exactly.
There's no more common thing between us that we are humans. Doesn't matter where we are, brought up, raised, anything, how different we are, we're humans.
We're humans, and at the core, we all have common wants of happiness, love, and peace. And I think that, you know, if you really got down to the core of what's common for all of us, I think that's pretty core.
Oh, that turned to a very spiritual conversation a bit. you know, inner beliefs and core values and so on. I believe people have much more common than we think they have. It's just then being, how to say, separated by external factors that are not necessarily coming with a good purpose to us. Great. I mean, I think we covered quite a lot of interesting things. And was there anything that you wanted to tell me and I didn't manage to ask you, or I forgot to ask you, something that you wanted to leave as a message?
A message. Well, I would love to leave as a message that if someone has that sense of knowing inside of them that there's something more that they have wanted out of life that they haven't found yet, whether that's in a career or in relationships or whatever it is, to not dismiss that feeling, but instead cultivate that, explore that, and use a book like Confidence Unchained to begin to shift your thinking around that and take steps in a direction, because you deserve to live the life you have yet to live.
I love this. We deserve to live the life we have to live.
Yeah.
So it's a fantastic, I guess there's a lot of fear coming with this transformation and this shift of mindset. And this is something probably we need to explore in a different conversation, and we'll do for sure.
Yeah.
I thank you for this today. as I said in the description of the podcast, I'm going to put your website and how people can reach out to you and the book. And the book is available like paper, classical one,
get it in Kindle or paperback. Not yet available on audio, but that's a future goal.
So for people with different learning preferences, the book will be available.
Yeah.
Thank you very much, Vicky.
Thanks for having me here. It's been a fun conversation.
Oh, you're more than welcome.